Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the house of the Lord. We're glad that you're here this day. And we just are grateful for an opportunity to gather again and to worship God. We want to take care of any housekeeping needs, so make any announcements we need to. Please remember, next week we will meet at the park. And it will begin at 10 o'clock. There'll be no Sunday school class. We'll have everything down at the tabernacle at the park. And then a family meal picnic following that. So please bring your lunch and enjoy fellowship with one another outdoors. We look forward to a wonderful day. Hopefully it won't be too humid, and we trust that we'll have a wonderful time in the park.
Now, the Ladies' Aid will provide the plates and the plastic ware, but everybody should bring a drink also.
Yes, bring your drink and dish to share. That would be helpful. All right.
Lisa wanted me to add, let's let everybody know, if you see an extra flyer in your mailbox, she forgot to put something in the newsletter regarding what was going on in the community, so she stuck some in the mailboxes back there, and there's a couple extra, so she said just to let you know that there's an additional page to the newsletter.
Thank you. So check your mailboxes before you leave today. And our school drive has continued to be on here, and so bring those by next Sunday if you can. Appreciate Deb would love to have lots of school supplies to turn in, and so we want to help the kids in our community that need this kind of help. Any other announcements? Let us begin our worship, and we'll do so with this prelude. Call to worship comes from the beginning of the letter to the Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the Beloved. Would you pray with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to come before you this day to worship, to praise your name. And so we ask that your Holy Spirit would come and be present among us and help us to do that, to lift up your name on high. And we ask, Lord, you teach us anew from your scriptures. Help us to understand that which we need to know for the week ahead. And so, Lord, would you bless this time together? And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. We invite you to stand and sing our hymn here, number 279. Please join me in singing. You may be seated. Well, we did get some showers last evening, and so those, it was a blessing. I know the ground certainly needed it, the gardens certainly could use it, and the corn as well. And so we're grateful for them, and praise God for the way that He provides for us. So we have lots to give thanks for, and so we have a time of sharing our joys and concerns. And so what is on your heart today that you would like to share with the congregation?
Report back yet as to what it might be or anything, so keep him in your prayers. Also for Alan, she posted his address, his phone number, and everything back here on the rear board if you'd like to take and send him a card or make him a phone call. Also keep Ricky and Jenny with their health condition lifted up this day, and the presence of each and every one here that still makes this church operable and refreshing to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
We want to remember Deb. She has a procedure coming up next month. Wilton, Tammy, Tina, Nelson, Judy, that whole family is
Steve.
They all on that side of the ridge. They need healing.
Just on that side.
Well, and then the top of Tammy and Wilton.
Yes.
We want to keep, of course, Ralph. And brothers really both still having a lot of problems. And we pray, Father, that you will intervene and be able to find some kind of solution to solve his pain and suffering.
We need the blessing to hit both sides of the ridge, right?
And I have an unspoken request.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Danny? Thank you. Others?
I have some friends for surgery and also unspoken requests.
Okay, thank you, Jerry. Ed?
I just thank God I'm here.
We are grateful for you to be here.
Amen, we are too.
Let's come to the Lord in prayer. We invite you either to kneel or remain seated with your head bowed. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we join the angels in crying, Holy, Holy, Holy. You are holy. And we are only able to come before your presence because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And so thank you, Lord, for access. By the grace of God, you have allowed us to come boldly into your throne room. And at a moment's notice, Lord, you give us the privilege to share with you what's on our heart. Lord, we thank you that you know even our thoughts and our words before we speak them. And Lord, we know that we have much to be thankful for. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the provisions you have given to us this week, for health and wholeness, and for blessings. We just are grateful, Lord, for the place that we live, for the opportunities that we have, for the privileges, the freedoms. We are so blessed. And Lord, we cry out to you today for those that are in need of physical health. For those who have come through surgeries, Lord, I pray for Joyce Darner. I pray for other friends and relatives who've had accidents and need healing. We pray for those unspoken requests, Lord. You know each one. And so, Lord, would you move in each situation? We pray that we might know that you're the one who brought the answer. So we know that you have given the doctors and nurses skill, but you're the one who provides the healing. And you knit everything together. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would touch lives, touch bodies, and raise them up. And so we pray that you continue to be with Alan, Rick, Jen. We pray, Lord, you'd be with Debbie and Walton and Tammy and Judy and that whole family, Lord, as they go through their trials, and continue to help Steve to heal from his back surgery. Be with Ralph and Bob. And Lord, we just pray you continue to bless Dolores. And we ask, Lord, that you might move in a tremendous way in Danny and his mom's life. Lord, pray that you would help her to be comfortable. We pray, Lord, you would give her the time that she has, that you might bless her in a tremendous way. Lord, there are other needs in our community, needs in our country. We're mindful, Lord, of the great things that are happening within our country, and not just politically, but also in nature. And so those are folks who have lost homes, folks who have lost lives, loved ones, because of the pandemic. Lord, there's just been so much tragedy this year. And so we just pray, Lord, that you would bring healing, bring comfort, that you would provide financially, meet all the needs. So we pray, Father, for our disaster work in the church, that you might use this time in a tremendous way. Thank you for those who volunteer to help with the children during the disaster relief efforts. And we thank you, Lord, for the churches that have been established overseas, Lord. And so we pray that you would help our brothers and sisters in Brazil, in Puerto Rico, in Nigeria, other places, Lord, where the church is under attack. We ask, Lord, for your hand of protection. Bless our missionaries that are on the field, in the field working to share the good news with others that don't know yet. And so, Lord, and we pray you provide for them and keep them on the mission field. Help them to, in their work, protect their families, Lord, as they share the good news. Lord, there's much turmoil in our world, and so we pray that you would bring an end to a civil war in Syria, and that you would bring an end to some of the problems that are taking place. Provide for those that don't have enough to eat. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to share the many blessings that you've given to us. And so meet the needs, Lord. Bless our leaders. Help them to make wise decisions so that we might live lives that are peaceable. We thank you for this church and pray a hedge of protection around each family, Lord. We pray, Lord, you would continue to move in a mighty way in our community. Help us to serve you in the days ahead. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name, who taught us how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the kingdom of God forever. Amen. At this time, we're going to invite you to stand again, and we're going to sing together number 336.
Water and the
Our scripture reading for today comes from Ephesians, second part of the second chapter. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you have once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and he preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Would you pray with me, please? God, we pause in your presence to ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds would be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Jesus once told a parable that went like this. He said, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Are you a wise man? How firm is your foundation? What is your life built on? Will it withstand the storms that will come? On June the 24th, around 1:25 in the morning, while most people were asleep, a 12-story beachfront condominium with 136 units collapsed into a pile of rubble. The Miami suburb building at Surfside claimed over 100 lives. About 95 of those have been recovered. Most of them have been identified, including the youngest, a one-year-old, and about 12 have been unaccounted for. There were 11 non-fatal injuries. Over 18 million pounds of concrete had to be gone through and removed. A faulty foundation and construction are major suspects for the failure. Warning signs were ignored. A firm foundation is vital, essential, in order to experience life at its fullest. A firm foundation is essential and important for life. So how firm is your foundation? What is your life built on? Will it withstand the storms that come? Webster defines foundation as this: a solid base, either of natural or prepared from concrete, on which a building is raised. It is usually the lowest courses of that wall or the building, usually underground. And it is of utmost importance that the foundation be strong, sturdy, solid, in order for the structure to last. You know, the Romans understood the importance of foundations. They were very good at constructing aqueducts and roads and buildings. Many of those have survived earthquakes and are seen still today. In the Bible, the word foundation is used figuratively, referring to the creation of the world and how the earth was made and what the church is built upon and the basis of Christian theology and teaching. And while the church is often referred to as a body, here in this letter to the believers at Ephesus, Paul throws in another analogy, and he shares about the church and for us to think of it as a building built on a firm foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ being the rock. He is our cornerstone. This church building has a cornerstone. It is dated 1853. It is out here at this corner. Here you can see it's right out here at this corner of the building. It's got the date 1853 in it. And it was founded by Elder Daniel P. Saylor from the Beaver Dam congregation. And it was completed and dedicated on Christmas Day in 1855. There were 79 members at that time. Isn't that something? Built here on the ridge, it has literally a physical as well as a figurative foundation being on a rocky ridge. I don't know where else would be better to build a church than on rocky soil. And in by 1882, it grew to a peak of 250 members. Now think about that. 250 members in 1880. That was the height of the Brethren denomination. Still in the early 1900s, this church had 6 meeting places, and it had over 20 free ministers. We called various people into ministry and organized and helped to see 6 different places of worship. And still, by 1880, it had over half its membership. We had 149 members in 1980. Decline has been occurring for the last several decades, and many of you will still remember when this place was full. Some of you can remember Sunday school classes. There's pictures of this whole stage up here being full of people. Would that that would happen again for us today. Amen. But do you know that around that time, in 1880, there was an earthquake that shook the D.C. area. On January the 5th, 1885, there was a strong surge that took place. Shook buildings and rattled windows, and reports that are found in the newspapers say that the people thought that there was a freight train going by their house. Some of you have experienced that as well, because remember on August 23rd in 2011, we had a 5.8 earthquake that shook this region. It was around 1:50 in the afternoon. I can remember I was in the church office at Harmony, and I was working at the desk when suddenly the whole church shook, and I thought someone had run into the front corner of the church. So I went outside to see what had happened, and I didn't see any damage. And the whole area of the eastern seaboard felt the effects of that minor earthquake. It was centered in northwest of Richmond, Virginia, and shook all the way up to, I think, Boston. And so while there was a little damage, we can begin to feel or understand a little bit what it would be like to go through an earthquake or to be in a building that collapsed. And can you imagine being in a city where there was a major earthquake and several of the buildings in your town fell and collapsed? Today, I think more than ever, we see the very need for foundations. Foundations for our lives, foundations for our denomination, our society, our country, and our world literally are being shaken. Storms and floods are beating against them. We see politicians, they don't seem to be able to save us because the Republicans and the Democrats are at stalemate. They refuse to work together. They leave the state and they won't work together in order to help pass legislation. Bankers, businessmen, and economists can't seem to find Save us from the financial collapse that will surely will come. How long can you continue to operate a country in trillions of debt, trillions of dollars? Now think about that. Not a million, not a billion, but trillions. Trillions of dollars of debt, and we continue to hand out money. And it seems like the least little thing that happens anywhere in the world causes the stock market to be nervous and to possibly crash. Computer technicians can't seem to save us, even though we rely so much on technology. They can't save us from the hackers and from the cyber warfare that is taking place that breaks down our infrastructure and causes shortages and our prices to go up. And so people are crying out everywhere for physical help, for political change, not just in this country, but around the world. People in a country in Myanmar have tremendous needs because of the military rule there. We see in Haiti with the assassination of their president, their country is on the verge of collapse. And now we see protests even in Cuba. We just can look anywhere in the world and find complete chaos. South Africa, I understand, is having troubles as well. And so here in our country, gun violence and racial unrest really tear at the fabric of our society, and police put their lives on the line daily in order to try to keep the peace. Polls that have been taken show that COVID not only has taken thousands of lives, 335 in just Frederick County, but has hurt church attendance as well. And probably, most likely, one-fourth of the people who had attended before will not return again. They will not return to in-person church services with or without masks. So various denominations we see in the last couple of decades have had trouble. They've had churches break away over key issues, including our own. And it seems like Mother Nature herself is against us with wildfires and destroying thousands of acres and out in the West. Just imagine thousands of acres. The whole state of Delaware has been burnt in one area out in California in the West. California is in a severe drought. I don't know if you've seen images of their lakes and the reservoirs, but they are below half, and some are even at a quarter capacity, and rely heavily, the cities out there rely heavily on those reservoirs. And so we see out there such drought, and then here in the East Coast we see such rains. The heavy storms have brought flooding into our area, as well as in Germany having severe flooding, flash flooding. And so it really causes us to question, what is going on? Is God trying to get our attention? Will we survive all of these catastrophes? Maybe now more than ever, we need a firm, solid foundation to stand on. And so we need prayer and fasting. We need repentance and we need revival. How firm is your foundation? What or who is your life built on? And will it withstand the additional storms that will come? Well, as I was reading the lectionary scriptures for today and chose this particular one to focus on, the word that really kind of jumped out at me and struck me was foundation. Foundation. And if you look in your bulletin here in verse 20 and 21, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fit together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And so foundations, I think, are fundamental. And I think I'd like to share 3 points that I thought about regarding foundations. And the first one is that foundations recall for us the creation and the Creator. It causes us to think about the creation and the Creator. From the beginning of time, from the foundation of the world. And you know, when Job was complaining to God, Job is probably one of the oldest books in the Bible, next to Genesis. And Job went through all those trials, and we often think of Job and his sufferings, but there was a point where Job had this conversation with God. He kind of questioned God, why are you doing this, and what is going on? And Job heard God out of the whirlwind, and this is God's answer back to him. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched a line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? And so the fundamental question to ask ourselves is, do we believe that God created the world? Do we believe that God created the world out of nothing? Out of nothing that existed before, God created everything. That is the Christian thought belief, that God created everything. And so world matters, world views do matter. The way that you perceive how this all came into being is very important. And for a number of decades now, we have been teaching our children in schools the theory of evolution. It is taught as fact. But it seems like the theory of evolution is a theory that's built on sand and not on the rock. And so evolutionists are now saying that life evolved out of nothing. And so they have gone full circle now and have come back. Nothing has created everything. They won't acknowledge God, but they have come to this fact. And so if you think that you came from monkeys, then you obviously have a different mindset about life and life and its importance of life. And so if you believe in creation, then you understand it from a different point of view. The second thing that I think foundations help us is with, they remind us of the church and the cornerstone. And so you know the verse, this is the day which the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. You know that one, right? Well, right before it comes this verse. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It was marvelous in our eyes. It was the Lord's doing to allow Jesus to be the cornerstone. And the cornerstone marks the beginning of the building and is put there at the foundation to show that there is a strong foundation and works to build upon. God even says in Isaiah 28:16, Behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And so we are, as a church, we are built upon him. We're built upon the apostles and the prophets. And so the apostles were the 12 disciples that lived with Jesus. They spent 3 years with him. They understood what he was saying. They ate with him. They touched him. They heard his voice. They saw the miracles. And they then gave their lives for the gospel. This was the evidence that they believed Jesus for who he was. They saw a man stand up in a boat and calm a storm. And they said, who is this guy that even the waves and the wind obey him? They knew who Christ was. And so the church then became both Jew and Gentile. We didn't do away with the Jewish people, but God is bringing together in one, both Jew and Gentile, to form one new man, which is the church that Jesus Christ is that we're established upon. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is the King. And what you believe about him is very important. We build our lives upon the truth, and the truth is found in God's Word. And the church then uses the gifts that he's given to us, the body of Christ, the prophets, the preachers, the teachers, the servers, the givers, those who have the gift of mercy, the organizers, all of us together share our gifts in order to build up the church and not tear it down. And if we build our lives around the truth that we find in God's Word, then it will last the test of time. But if we build our lives around something or someone else, then we will not stand. Because only the church is what goes into eternity. Only the church will last forever. The third point about foundations is that they refer to us about Christian theology and teaching and repentance. And so we begin with the church by admitting that we're a sinner, that we need a Savior, that the Lord Jesus Christ is that Savior, and that we accept what He has done for us by faith in Christ, and we accept God's gift of mercy and grace, and we then stand with the saints. This is a firm foundation which we begin to build. We build into our lives and into our minds the truth of God's Word, and then we teach and pass those on to our children and to our grandchildren. David Jeremiah's teaching here this morning was wonderful, and it's an important truth for us to understand. And so as we listen to Paul's instructions here to the Corinthians, he talks about this metaphor that he uses about the building. He says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds upon it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And so we'll be able to withstand the storms. And literally, there's a tidal wave that's coming, that has come, that is here, with progressive theology, with liberal theology, with new age reinventions of old age understandings and beliefs, situational ethics, and socialism, and racism, and occultism, and all of these things have been unleashed in our generation. It is so prevalent today. And so it's very important what we think. What is the foundation in which our lives are built upon? Are they built upon the mind of man, or are they built upon the mind of Christ? Do we build upon the word of philosophy, or do we build upon the word of God? In Proverbs it says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." As a person thinks in their heart, that's often the way that they act or they become. And so what you think really plays a very significant part of how your life plays out. How you, what you do, how you act, what you say. What you think in your heart often plays a part in how we live our lives. Do you know the Canaanites, way back before Joshua went into the Promised Land, Canaanites had many false beliefs, many evolutionary type understandings of life, and they worshiped many different kinds of gods. And there was an interesting fact that I came across as I was studying cornerstones this week. One of the Bible dictionaries says that in the cornerstones of some of the Canaanite buildings that they have excavated, that they found skeletons of children. Skeletons of children were found at the cornerstones of Canaanite buildings. And so it was thought that among the Canaanites that laying a foundational stone was accompanied by the dreadful ritual of human sacrifice. It included numerous skeletons which were unearthed, especially tiny babies in earthen jars. Now, either they were killed as part of the sacrifice and the ceremony of laying the cornerstone, or maybe, to give them maybe a little credit, maybe they thought that was a safe place to put, you know, the tragedy of having a child die was so significant, and maybe this was one way that they were trying to honor or preserve the infant. But regardless, their ideas, how they acted, what they thought about life played a part in how they lived their lives. So any wonder then, people sometimes ask, well, why did God command the Israelites to kill all those people when they went into the Promised Land? Well, it was because of the practices and some of the ideas and the philosophies that they believed and lived with. And so listen here how Peter explains about foundations in the faith of the early church. Now, Peter says, "Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, and you also a spiritual house. He is the chief cornerstone, but to those the disobedient, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense." And so if you don't accept Christ for who he is and his teachings, then it was like a stumbling block. And so some of the Jews stumbled over this. They couldn't get wrap their minds around the fact that this was Jesus. We know he's from Nazareth. We know his brothers and sisters. You know, he says that he's God. You know, how can that be? And so some of the Jews had trouble understanding. Well, Christ, you know, the Messiah wouldn't die on a cross. A cross was for a criminal. And so they had some misconceptions about the Messiah, and they had a hard time accepting Jesus. They stumbled over him, and he became like a rock of offense to them. You know, the only firm foundation that's going to last is Jesus Christ and the church. He is the rock. And all the earthquakes, all the financial quakes, all the political quakes, the health quakes that might be occurring in our lives, disasters that will come, all of these will not move that foundation. He is a solid, firm foundation, and our belief needs to be in him. And you know, we're living in a time now when Satan hates the church because it represents the body of Christ. And he knows that his time is short. The scriptures tell us that he is the prince of the power of the air, and so he's doing all that he can to disrupt and destroy the church of Jesus Christ. And so will we last? Will we withstand the shaking that is going on? Will we withstand the fires and the floods, the coming judgment of God? We have to wonder, how long will God look and turn his face away from the tremendous amount of abortions that have taken place? You know, we've destroyed a whole generation of children. How long will God allow the destruction of the family, the destruction of his church? How long will he look away from sexual deviancy? How long will he allow innocent people to be shot with gun violence? How long will he allow the drug abuse to continue? There comes a point of no return. There comes a point of reckoning. There comes a point of judgment. Remember Jesus' parable of the house built on sand? He said that, you know, if we build a house on the sand, the storms come and that house is destroyed. But if we build the house on the rock, then it withstands the storms. When our boys were little, we got into Legos. I can tell you, I probably should have invested in Lego stock because we bought so many different sets of Legos, especially for Christmas and for birthdays. And we found, you know, the boys would build something really neat and we'd want to hang on to it for a little while, you know. And when we go to move it from place to place, you know, sometimes it would crumble. And then we'd have to fix it again, you know. And so then they came out with these Lego squares, these building squares. They're about, you know, this big with the little Legos parts on it, and you could build on those, and it was an easy thing to pick up and to carry around and to move from place to place. It was a foundation, and they found that they were very helpful, and we bought several of those when the kids were building. A firm foundation to build upon. And so we want to remember not to forget, the Lord is our maker. He is our creator. He's the one who stretched out the heavens. He's the one who laid the foundations of the earth. Can you imagine measuring the foundations of this world and telling the seas how far to go and no further? Only God, the mind of God, can do that. What a tremendous task. And to bring all of this into being out of nothing. Nothing existed before God spoke. God spoke it into existence. The tremendous power and mind of God. And so I think for me, foundations recall the creation and the creator. Foundations, I think, remind us of the church and its cornerstone. And foundations refer us to Christian teaching and theology, and especially that of repentance. And so I would encourage you to check your foundation. Are there any cracks? Are there any wrong ideas, wrong philosophies that have creeped in? That cause you to maybe do or say things that maybe don't quite square up, they don't quite plumb up to the gospel. On the farm, we ground our own feed. We had a feed grinder, and we kept grains on the farm, and we would use our own grains that we raised, the wheat and the barley, to feed the cattle and the corn. And so Dad got, we need some more storage. And so we built some huge storage bins. And so right by the drive of the near the barn, we began to build the foundation for those bins. We hauled in rock and put them into the foundation, poured the cement, and put the bins up. And there was a lot of weight when those bins were full. And over the course of a year or two, there was a crack that developed in one of the bins' foundations, crack in the cement, because it had settled a little bit more than we had anticipated. And so we planned to build a little shed to hold some of the other things that we needed, like salt and minerals and things that we added to the feed. And so we built another little block building. And this time Dad was very sure, we're not going to let this crack. So even though it wouldn't be carrying as much weight, so we hauled in rock from the field and put them in place and tamped them down. And then we brought in some gravel and filled in the cracks and then finally the cement. And I remember Dad building that, making the plumb hang the string on the corner, and making sure everything was level, and built that block building to hold our feed storage. And it did not crack. In fact, it's still standing there on the Kramer Road farm. That was around 1975, I think, we built that. And it's still lasting. And so it's important that we have a sturdy foundation, a strong foundation, firm, and that we're ready for whatever might come. To be aware that we need to stand. And what we stand on is the Word of God. And He is the Word incarnate. And so we stand on Christ. There was a good hymn in our brethren hymnal that was sung, and you might know it, How Firm a Foundation. And let me just share those words with you. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent Word. What more can He say than to you He has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? Fear not, I am with thee, be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, for the river of sorrow shall not overflow, for I will be with thee, thy troubles be blessed, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. The soul that on Jesus still leans for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, never forsake. Jesus is the rock. He is the cornerstone. He is the foundation in which the church is built. And we need to continue to rely very heavily on the basis of Christianity, the beliefs that He is Lord, that He rose from the dead, that He reigns at the right hand of God the Father, and that He is coming again. These are all basic Christian beliefs that we should adhere to and understand. Years ago, there was a course. Very simple. Jesus is the answer for the world today. There is no other. Jesus is the way. Do you remember that? Jesus is the answer for the world today. There is no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus Christ is our cornerstone. He is the only firm, solid foundation on which to stand. And so I would encourage you to make sure that your foundation is firm and that you're standing on Him, the solid rock. Would you pray with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, the rock, our cornerstone. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells within us and causes us to be a living temple. And so build our lives, Lord, on your word. for it is truth. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the apostles and the prophets and all who have gone on before us, those who have founded this church building in which we meet. And Lord, we pray that our faith indeed would be in Christ, who is the solid rock. And I pray that you'd help us to share the good news with a needy world. Lord, forgive us when we fail. Help us to see any wrong philosophies, any wrong ideas we might have thought. We pray, Lord, you'd teach us to build on a foundation which is based on your word. And so I pray your blessing on this congregation. Help us to be the church that you need us to be in this generation. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll close our service by standing and singing together number 226. Number 226. Now our benediction from the end of the letter to the Ephesians. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all of those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him.
Go in peace.